Welcome to the Money Wise Women Show, brought to you by MoneyMorphosis.com. Are you ready to be inspired to upgrade your financial skills? Listen to feminine leaders sharing practical advice and valuable insights. Shift your money mindset, improve communication skills, and learn financial management tips. Although we do not provide investment advice, you can check out MoneyMorphosis.com. That's MoneyMorphosis.com to find simple ways to boost your true wealth.
Welcome. This is Crystal Arnold, your hostess and founder of Money Morphosis. How many of you wake up on Monday morning and just kind of have to drag yourself out of bed to work, to a job that's not fulfilling or satisfying just for a paycheck? I tell you, way too many people with valuable gifts and unique genius are selling their time for money, doing things that they don't love, that don't access their fullest gifts and express their full potential. And what we're seeing right now in the shifting economy and society is incredible opportunity for greater entrepreneurship, for people to actually discover their innate genius and put value to it and be able to create a livelihood, a right livelihood, doing something that they love that really contributes significantly to the greater good of the whole. And, you know, I'm 35 years old, and I see way too many people in my generation who are burdened by student loan debt, who are feeling trapped in dead-end jobs that don't really satisfy their soul's calling. And many people I know are taking the leap to becoming entrepreneurs, to being willing to authentically and courageously express their gifts in the world. And so this is why I've brought on our guest today, Cornelia Ward, also known as Connie, who is an incredible career and business mentor. She helps people love Mondays, which I just so love, this, the feeling of that. And what does that mean? Well, 80% of Americans wake up each morning dragging themselves to a job that's just not working for them. And so we both think this is totally crazy. You know, Cornelia works with light workers to create a transition plan into a career or business that really lights them up so they're excited to get back to work on Monday. And, you know, this is more and more important as more and more jobs are becoming automated, that we're looking at what will people do that is valuable. She has a fascinating background with a master's degree in community economic development and has been helping people reach their career and business goals for over 15 years. Her book, Go Forward Fearlessly, supports people in successfully navigating career and other life major life transitions. So you can download the book for free at her website, www.ihelppeoplelovemondays.com. And her Facebook group is Passion and Purpose, Create a Career You Love community. And this is a really great place for people who want to make the world a better place, to be able to gather, connect, and inspire to do the work they are meant to do. And you can also check out the website, www.createacareeryoulove.com. So thrilled to have you share with us here today. I would love to start just by hearing more about what you find most exciting about the work that you do. Welcome.
Hi, Crystal. Thanks for having me. Love being here with your your group and your listeners. So, you know, I think what really excites me most about the work I do, which, you know, helps me love Mondays, is just knowing kind of person by person, this is often how each of us works, right, is each person I connect with, each person that I can support in either clarifying their life purpose or finding that career or business that they love, you know, it, they become happy, you know, as they go into the work they're meant to do, which I, you know, I got just got off the phone with a client this morning, and, you know, she's really struggling in her job as a teacher, and I'm taking her through the 6 steps to create a career you love program. And, you know, she's out there talking to people, you know, in the occupations that she wants to be working with, you know, with healers and coaches and other people, because she thinks she wants to be self-employed. And she's, you know, even though nothing's changed with her job, she's really excited to think about what the possibilities are in getting home and talking to people about what it's like to be successful in those fields. So I told her this morning I get to do a little happy dance when I get off the phone with her, because I can see the shifts happening, and we've only been working together a few weeks.
Wow, that's amazing. As you know, someone has a guide to open up their doors of perception to be able to realize some of the other possibilities and some of the gifts that, you know, so many women especially were told as young girls, you know, that these gifts are not valuable or skills. You can't make money being an artist, or, you know, and so much of our creativity is squelched at a very young age. So I'm curious, you know, you've worked with so many people over the years, and especially love helping the younger generations as I do. What are some of the biggest obstacles that you've found women in particular struggle around when they're making some kind of career change or starting business?
Yeah. So, I love, and I primarily work with women, so I'm really familiar with what comes up for them. I mean, I think it does actually tie to what you just talked about in terms of our belief systems, which, you know, has a whole lot to do with the messages that we got as kids, you know, where we supported in being bright and strong and independent and speaking our mind, and, you know, where we taught that, you know, we have gifts and talents to share with the world. And so I think that's a lot of it, is that kind of makeup, which isn't to say that, you know, if we didn't grow up with a perfect nurturing, you know, environment as a child, that we can't do the work we love, right? I mean, a lot of us spend time kind of navigating through challenges in our adult lives, and then eventually land where we're meant to land if we don't do that initially. So I'd say that's maybe the first obstacle. And then the other one is, you know, people are, if they're not happy in their work, they're feeling pretty drained at the end of the day and pretty overwhelmed. So they can't, it's almost like they can't think clearly, right? There's just like so much going on in their lives. And instead of being really energizing, their work is really draining. So they get home at the end of the day and they're kind of exhausted. And if they have a family, you know, that, you know, affects their relationships with their children and their partner. But also they're just not sure what steps to take, you know? So that adds to the overwhelm. Like, okay, I know I'm not happy. You know, maybe I'm starting to have some health issues because of my work. But, you know, how do I climb out of this situation so that I know I'm going to land on my feet financially and otherwise in a good place? So it's not, you know, lack of clarity around the steps to take. And then it's also the fear, like, you know, when we're meant to help a lot of people in the world, whether that's through a career or through a business like you and I have, you know, the capacity for us to do a lot of good in the world is really pretty profound, right? Like we can, you know, think of your favorite author, for instance, and think about how that person, nonfiction author who may have really impacted your life in a major way, and how many people that they've affected. And so people like that, you know, many of us are like this, that we're meant to help a lot of people. And so, you know, when we have a life purpose that is that big, that we're, you know, really supposed to help so many people, which is really common right now, then the fear comes up big time. Like those voices in our head just are pretty much unrelenting, you know, and they just, you know, so it's like, you can't do this. No, you know, what are you thinking? You got to pay the bills. You can't support yourself if you make a change, kind of what you mentioned in the beginning about, you know, having to go to work for a paycheck. So those are some of the major ones. The fear stops people, and also like just not sure what steps to take.
Right. It seems like so many people are trying to, have this desire to make a positive change, and yet are feeling full over capacity with their existing obligations, and so how to create that spaciousness and possibility for what's next is so important, and really, honestly, to leverage our time and energy to get the most impact and financial gain and best relationships that we can, really make our time most worthwhile. So you had a really interesting experience. If you'd like to share about your kind of crash and burn experience, and you know what you learned about being resilient, and how you were able to respond to major changes in your own life.
And we all have a crash and burn story, right? I think we all have like some version of like what my story, but my particular story is, you know, this master's degree, as you mentioned, in community economic development, which is like an MBA with the community added in, and those relationships that are part of a kind of a vital community, a thriving community. And I, until about 8 years ago, I was a broker in the financial services sector. The entire time that I was working in that particular job, and I loved helping people reach their financial goals, and I still do that kind of in a different way related to career and business. But when I was a broker, you know, I loved helping people reach their financial goals, loved connecting with people and helping them. But my personal values were really out of sync with the personal values of what was going on at work around me. So, for instance, you know, one of my major personal values is the value of collaboration and cooperation and supporting other people. And that just, you know, as you can imagine, you know, the financial services sector, it's kind of built many times on competition. And so that was out of whack, just as an example. And so what often happens, and what happened to me, is that I ended up getting pretty sick. And I'm like this very healthy person. So this was like a huge red flag for me. And, you know, I eventually just got so depressed because my values were out of whack with my work environment. Like I was leaving the real me at home every morning and going to work, and then coming home at the end of the day pretty exhausted. So when I got really depressed, I eventually had to, you know, stop working full-time and work part-time. And then a few weeks later, when it was clear things at work weren't going to improve in a way that would support my health, I actually had to leave my job, which is it's a leap of faith, right? But I didn't have any choice because you, of course, you know, you can't, if you don't have your health, you really can't earn money. You can't, you know, be there in other areas of your life. You can't be there for yourself. So that was my crash and burn story. And then in terms of what I learned, I mean, I actually learned a lot in that position. So like these, you know, jobs that we may love for a while and eventually we don't love anymore, there's a lot that we learn. Like there's so much I learned as a broker that I bring into my current work. So that, you know, there's always something, you know, it's never lost. So that would be one lesson that I learned. Another one is that really, when we follow our heart, you know, and we do the work, this is why I'm so passionate about helping people find their life purpose and create that career or business they love, is once you're doing the work you're meant to do, really the universe, whatever your beliefs are, you know, the universe really steps up and supports you, because that's why you're here, is to make the world a better place by by sharing your gifts and talents with the world. And so this was just, it was kind of a rude crash and burn situation for me, but enabled me to reshift, look at what my purpose was, you know, what kind of business did I want to start, and how is I going to share my gifts and talents with the world so I could thrive financially, health-wise, and otherwise. And so part of that was self-care. Like, that was one of my big lessons was, you know, that was my new job after I left my position was all about self-care. So I hope, does that kind of answer your question, Crystal?
Totally. I'm so glad you brought up the self-care piece, because I feel like that as women, it's so easy to put ourselves last and end up feeling depleted and drained. And, you know, I have two small kids at home, so it definitely takes a bit of effort to carve out time for my self-care. And it's just so incredibly valuable for our not only well-being, but our ability to serve others with greater joy and without the resentment and that comes when we're exhausted and overly taxed. And and I love how you got the gold out of the grit of what happened, and we're really able to kind of harvest the gifts, because I feel like if we can look at any challenging experience we have as, okay, what are the gifts in this? What can I gain from, what am I gaining from this experience? Right? It kind of shifts the mindset around that.
Yeah, for sure. There's always a gift. Always, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about this kind of finding your purpose, this soul's calling, and what does that have to do with creating wealth?
Yeah. So in terms of your calling and creating wealth, here's my belief that, you know, and I alluded to this a couple of minutes ago, that basically that before we kind of land on the planet, it's my belief that we are given these gifts and talents to share with the world. And that as long as we use those gifts while we're here to make the world a better place, that basically we're taken care of financially and otherwise. And that probably sounds a little bit just kind of general and kind of a theory, but I just, in my own life, I have seen time and again, as long as I am, staying, kind of playing my position, if you will, doing the work that I'm meant to do, that's it's a contract that I believe we made before we landed here. If we say yes to our gifts and talents, then basically the world, the universe, kind of says yes to us and supports us completely because we're fulfilling our part of the agreement.
Yes, what a great way to look at that co-creative relationship with spirit, the universe, and just let that purpose and passion drive us. Even when it doesn't fit into a box, I see so many of these younger kids graduating high school and not really feeling like they have a place. There's not a 9-to-5 job that they feel like they fit into because they have these innovative ideas and visions of, you know, what's needed for a new humanity, basically. Are you finding that with people? You mentioned a lot of people are feeling this bigger calling right now. Do you find that in your work with people?
What's the question again? Am I finding what?
Oh, just that people are really kind of waking up to a bigger desire to serve that may not fit into some title or job description.
Yeah, for sure. There are a lot of people, you know, kind of 20s, 30s, even 40s, even teenagers who are really feeling like they've got an important life purpose. Like they can feel it, like in their gut. They know that they're here for a reason. The environment that we live in, however, doesn't always support that in terms of, these people, and I know we were going to talk about this a little bit later, you know, just people who are, they're highly sensitive, very bright, and the high sensitivity enables, it just makes it difficult for them to kind of navigate kind of the sometimes harshness of the world. But they do have this really strong inner calling to basically bring that forth. And often because they're so, like I actually have a client like this who I think she's like in her 20s. She works for in the public sector for the state of Vermont where I live. And she's multi-talented, like, and she has lots, she's very creative, has lots of talents. And she's in my Six Steps to Create a Career You Love program, and she's out there connecting with people in a variety of different occupations that she's considering going into. And what I remind her is, you know, look, you're really creative. You may, you know, end up creating your own business. So just don't limit yourself. Just if you can't find, you know, a job out there when you do your informational interviews, if you can't find a job that encompasses all the things you want to do, don't stress. Know that you can basically create it yourself. So I hope that answers that question, Crystal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great example of the importance of self-reflection and intimacy with ourselves, and just looking at, how life has given us these opportunities to reveal our gifts to ourselves, and then, reaching out and getting the support from people like you who can really navigate, you know, the practical steps to actually create income from these gifts and talents that we have. Let's see. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit more. I really appreciate your kind of how I see you doing business in kind of a more cooperative approach, and the way that you kind of engage the power of your network and your tribe and do things such as joint venture partnerships and affiliate programs. And I feel like this is really, for one, a more feminine way of doing business that's relationship-based, and two, just kind of a new paradigm of how we can cooperate instead of exclusively compete. So I'd love to hear more about, like, your cooperative business approach and why you find this so effective.
Yeah. So the reason I think it's most effective is that, like you and I here, right, we're doing a little bit of a collaborative joint venture, you know, in terms of, you know, your show and me being a guest and your serving your tribe by bringing in, you know, people who, you know, you think can support them in terms of, you know, being money wise. So that would be an example of a collaboration or a joint venture. And, it's in our businesses, you know, as business owners, you know, we have, there's a lot to do, right? Like it's kind of a big project having a business. And so it's great when you can collaborate with other people so that you don't have to do all the heavy lifting yourself. So one really great way to do that is to connect with other people who are of like mind, other business owners who serve the same tribe that you do, right? And so I think you and I perhaps both serve people who are interested in collaboration, you know, women who are potentially light workers, spiritually oriented, want to make the world a better place. And so what we can do is serve our tribes by, in a better way, by collaborating and bring what each of us has to bring to the fore and share that message to support them in whatever their path is. So it's always, in terms of the cooperative model, it's about really coming from a place of, you know, how I can support people. Like I just last night got on the phone with, you know, I'm in Vermont. This woman is a business owner in Washington, and she told me a little bit about the work that she does. You know, she kind of is a healer who helps people kind of get unstuck. And once I heard kind of what she did, I just was interested. So what are you working on right now? Like, what projects are you working on that, you know, I could support you? How can I, you know, maybe send more people to your radio show or to download your free book, that kind of thing. So out of that just kind of place of supporting each other and knowing that there's plenty, you know, out of that collaboration, and I, you know, I just met her last night. We happen to belong to the same group online, but just out of that, you know, half an hour conversation, we came up with a whole list of ideas of how, you know, I can, you know, share her, you know, she has this great podcast that she does every month, and so I can share with my tribe about that because I know that's something that they can really benefit from. And so my tribe really appreciates that, right, that I'm sharing those resources. And then she's able to serve her mission in a bigger way because she has more people, my tribe, being sent and made aware of what she's doing. So basically, you know, we don't have to do this alone if we're coming at it from a place of you know, collaboration and supporting each other and forming these joint venture partnerships where, you know, it's all about helping each other and supporting each other and reaching out, you know, to each other from, you know, every few months and saying, what are you working on? What can I help you with? Or reaching out when you've got something that you're launching, like a new service or a radio show or a blog, and reaching out to your joint venture partners and, you know, saying, hey, this is what's going on. I wonder if you would be willing to share this with your tribe, that kind of thing.
Mm, right. I love how that kind of relationship-based orientation is about serving and really, you know, opening up our spheres of influence to find the people who resonate with our message and just being able to reach the people who are ready to receive the wisdom. So I just love that approach. And as you've probably experienced, find it so delightful and satisfying just how many incredible people are out there. And it's such a natural joy to like spotlight people like you and, you know, really highlight and uplift one another. And it's so different from the kind of outdated, exclusively competitive models. You know, this really brings me to questions of, I want to talk a little bit about feminine leadership and, you know, want to say that these feminine qualities can show up in both men and women. But, curious as a leader yourself who works with many women, what kind of qualities of feminine leadership do you see being most valuable in these the new economy or these changing times?
Yeah. So I really do think about it's, you know, we just talked about joint venture partnerships. It's really about collaboration and cooperation and kind of away from that model of competition, right? It's about honoring, you know, what gifts and talents our partners have, other people who we work with have, to kind of bring that to the fore and support each other in that way. You know, of course, you know, I mean, women are pretty amazing. We're able to do, you know, like you just mentioned, right? You have two little kids at home, you're running a business. I'm sure those are only two of the things going on in your life, right? We all have full lives, and you know, we have the ability to, you know, basically, you know, have many things up in the air, be working on many projects all at the same time, and to do it really successfully and to do it with passion and to have that confidence that we, you know, we really can do anything because we can, you know, and women tend to be very visionary and really support each other. And I will mention one thing just as kind of a caveat that I thought I'd mention. So, you know, on Sunday, the latest New York Times edition had an editorial by Nicholas Kristof. You know, he's one of the editorial people that writes, I forget what section of the newspaper, but he actually did the first interview that Hillary Clinton has done one-to-one with anybody since the election. And you know, whether you supported Hillary Clinton or not, I think there's something that I took away that I think I'd like to share right now, which I think would be very helpful for people to hear, because it is about the feminine leadership, about collaboration. And I think sometimes what happens, and she talked about this, that, you know, we see women who are ambitious, who are really bright, you know, many of us are really bright, really ambitious, you know, have these great gifts and talents to share with the world. And we're successful, right? And unfortunately, sometimes we're targets because of that. And I, you know, I'm not sure where that all comes from. You know, I'm not sure why that is. But, I mean, I think that's our strength is the collaboration and being really solid in our own confidence and of what we have to bring and that it's not a zero-sum model. There's plenty enough for everyone. And so, you know, it's great to learn from and collaborate with other strong, positive, ambitious leaders out there and really honor each other and the power that each of us has because, you know, we've all seen it. I mean, I've had this happen in my own business. I'm sure many of us have had, you know, situations like this during our lives where, you know, when we're unapologetically expressing our gifts and talents and being confident and ambitious because we have the capacity to make the world a better place in such a big way, we can also be targets for people who, you know, aren't feeling as confident and they're maybe in a different place and they're hurting in some way. So I love this question because, you know, it's just really about getting clear about why we're here, what we're here to do, how we're meant to serve, and knowing that we all play a different position and that as we support each of us, each other, ambitious, successful, gifted, you know, really bright other women, ourselves included, you know, it just makes the world a better place. And there's that, it's that whole, we just talked about this, right, the whole power of collaboration. And what everybody has to bring to the fore and you know, being confident and powerful and able to recognize that, you know, as we all do that and we support each other in doing that, it just, you know, the capacity, those ripples, right, have the capacity of really having major transformations for us individually and our businesses and also just out there in the world.
Mm. So true. That's, yeah, it really is ability to, you know, of a woman's brain, you know, they've actually seen this in neuroscience, how we perceive the whole picture and how men are more singularly focused and women often have a more thick, the thing that goes between the left and right hemisphere of the brain. And so they can see more activity between the right and left brains as women are able to, you know, both think and feel and kind of, you know, respond to the kids' needs 1 minute and then, you know, the other analytical decision-making thinking thing that's happening the next minute. And so we're kind of wired for greater versatility and ability to see a big picture and really be able to also connect in a felt sense and, you know, also have greater empathy with people and be able to imagine where other people are feeling and speak in that kind of compassionate way. So I think there is a great value to a feminine leader. And and then that feeling of hiding, because there is that, if you're successful, if you're showing off your gifts, you know, all these societal messages that really impact women, and in many places it's still not safe, you know, physically for a woman to be seen as a leader and really be out there. So it's fascinating that whole dynamic of women and the challenge of being seen and getting greater visibility. So I think before we go any further, I'd like to pause and take a quick break here. And then maybe when we come back, we can talk more about the kind of visibility and some issues that women have with under-earning. And so we'll be back in just 1 minute.
Do you get choked up and flush talking about money? Don't let fear and shame stop you from sharing your value. Speak up, sister. Find out how to boost your financial communication skills at www.findyourmoneyvoice.com. Perhaps you're like Gwen, a budding creative entrepreneur who wants to provide for her family, but she has a tough time expressing her needs. She chronically undercharges and lays awake at night with money stress. With Crystal's Find Your Money Voice training, she found renewed confidence speaking her self-worth. Transform beliefs, behaviors, and skills with money. With greater clarity and focus, Gwen more confidently negotiated solid agreements and increased her business earnings with the trainings found at findyourmoneyvoice.com.
Welcome back. We are here with our guest, Cornelia Ward, and just discussing some of the amazing capacities of women as leaders, and also some of the challenges that are deeply ingrained in our society and our psyches about visibility and really what it means, these responsibilities of becoming successful and people who are in the public spotlight and wanting to be seen and reach more people. And, you know, those kinds of challenges can also lead to under-earning and women not feeling comfortable asking for what they're worth or getting their work out there in an effective way. So what would you like to share with people who may be struggling with under-earning or visibility in their business?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, one thing I think in terms of business in particular, that it's important to have some kind of coach or somebody who you're, you know, getting support from. Like I have, I don't know. I think I have three coaches in my business right now. So I think getting coaching of some kind is important. And then also there's a great book that I would recommend called Overcoming Under-Earning, written by Barbara Stanny, S-T-A-N-N-Y. And that just has a bunch of workshop exercises that will really help people to really look at what's holding them back.
Great suggestion. She's really a great leader in the field. Right, because it's so helpful to have some reflection and ongoing support, and ultimately a place where we can be authentic about our struggles, because I find that often, especially around financial matters, there's so much shame and self-judgment and guilt and fear that people really have trouble reaching out and asking for help and being really honest with themselves and with others, loved ones, husbands, family members, about their financial situation. And Anything else you'd like to share about that?
Just that, you know, we all have fears that come up, right? And as we take action, I mean, that's the big antidote to fear, you know, around money or anything else, just to take action. And then when you get on the other side of that, if you continue to just take those small steps and get the support you want, you know, you really transform into a different person on the other side of that fear, and you have so much more confidence. And that kind of feeds your ability, your higher self-esteem to earn more money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and that self-esteem, and so many women struggle with self-worth, and that they just aren't valuable, and just how to, you know, which is a lot of women are making considerably less than their male counterparts, and really to be able to value ourselves and practice self-love, and back to that self-care that you mentioned, just being able to value ourselves, and we have to be able to do that for others to then value us as well. So.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. Let's see. So fascinated, you know, by your background and with the master's in community economic development and then your work in the financial sector. And so I'm curious about how that background has really impacted your work, and we could talk a little bit about why small businesses and entrepreneurs really can be the cornerstone of a thriving local economy, and why is that so important these days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Community economic development is basically a theory that you look at a community based on all the different sectors, right? You look at the nonprofit sector, you look at the public sector, and also the business sector. So communities that are really thriving have just really a strong infrastructure that really supports the health of all sectors. The people that live in that community. So the way that ties into the business is that you're basically, you'll see, like, I happen to, I live in one of the top 10 cities that consistently comes up in the U.S. as one of the favorite places for people to live, in Burlington, Vermont. And a big part of that is, you know, that we have this really thriving community that's really all about those values of community economic development. So we have, like, lots of really small business owners who collaborate, who support each other, who are just, you know, so creative and creating these businesses that really meet the needs in the community, and then provide jobs and just this really thriving environment. I mean, we've all been to towns or cities where we can kind of almost like feel in the air this vitality, and a lot of that has to do with the health of that community, how vital it is. A lot of that has to do with businesses and what they actually contribute to meeting the needs of that community, as well as individuals, and also providing employment.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I recently interviewed one of the founders of the Business Alliance for Local Living Economy, Judy Wicks in Philadelphia. She's a great example of kind of a pioneer who, in her White Dog Cafe, began in the 80s to source organic, you know, humane meat and just quality local produce, and really actually began to share that information, the distribution, with her other quote competitors, other restaurants, and saw that she was so passionate about the value that was created that she was less concerned about having the competitive advantage for having these local organic sustainable food resources than she was with sharing that information, so more people could really leverage their buying power. And so now we see BALI, the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies, all across the U.S. and really supporting with, localizing our credit sources, giving loans to small business, and just really creating the access that they need to then contribute to their local communities. Because as we both know, money spent at a local business will then circulate within the economy instead of being siphoned off through Walmart, say. Yeah, so that's fascinating. I love Burlington. I think it's a great example of what's possible in a really good scale at that city.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. So, let's talk about a more intimate economy. It's a term that I've come up with that really describes an economy that's based on more cooperation, collaboration, transparency, people's reputation, authenticity. And so I'd love to hear about, let us dream together about what's possible in this new economy that's emerging, and how you've been inspired by, some of the young purpose-driven entrepreneurs who you work with, and just anything about the potential you see about what's emerging in our economy.
Yeah, I love that question. I love working with these individuals. I'll start out with a story. My son actually goes to school in Scotland. He's finishing up his PhD. And his PhD has nothing to do with business. He's more of a creative person, so he's a big writer and, teacher. But it was just a great reminder for me of just what the power and the creativity and the talent of so many people who are like in their 20s and 30s. So one of his friends had a birthday party one evening, his friend Pete that was from Brighton in the UK. And because, of course, the school, it's the University of Edinburgh in Scotland, and because the school is an international school and it's based in Europe, there are students from all over the world. So at that party, there was several people from the UK, there was someone from Spain, someone from Turkey, someone from Iran, somebody from Poland, and then somebody from Chile. So all over the world. And then every person I talked to, they just had this real positivity and real centeredness, and even though we all feel sometimes depressed about what kind of goes on out there in the greater world, I just left that party, and it was my son's party. It was like 3 o'clk in the morning, and if anybody's been in Edinburgh, we're walking through the meadows, which is this big park, leaving this party at 3 o'clock in the morning to get back to my son's flat. And I just was struck by, we have a lot of problems in this world, but the world's going to be okay because these people are really in charge, or they're going to be in charge. So I think of the groups as being the crystals and indigos. The indigos are the strong-willed warrior types. If you think about the Arab Spring or Occupy Wall Street, these are the really strong-willed warriors who are willing to put their own lives on the line in order to stand up for what they know is right. And it's often about dismantling those structures in society that are no longer working, whether it's the financial industry, the financial sector in this country, or it's a monarchy on the other side of the world. So those are the people who are basically dismantling dismantling the structures, and then the crystals come in afterwards. They're the collaborators. We've been talking a lot about that, right? Like, they're the collaborators. They're the ones who are the peacemakers to come in and kind of put everything back together. So those two groups are highly sensitive. They have great gifts and talents. They're very bright. And that's really, that's where we're headed, is really in terms of dismantling the structures that no longer work, and then creating new structures that are built on, like you said, authenticity, integrity, collaboration, transparency.
Are you still there? Your phone's cut out.
I'm here. Sorry.
Oh, good. No worries. I can hear you.
Great.
Yes. Great. Oh, yeah. You were on a roll there. That's so good. Yes. So we really are. Yeah. Yeah. These. Did you want to finish that up? I'm not sure if you were done with that thought.
Yeah, I was done. I'm hoping that it all kind of came through. But yeah, just, you know, it's those individuals who are really going to create this new economy, and it gives me a lot of hope, and I feel really honored to be working with people like that, because it's knowing what the steps are, having that support system, and connecting to the fact that they know they have really important work to do in the world.
Yes, totally. Yeah, and that really highlights the importance of intergenerational exchange. And, you know, we're almost, I think, about 20 years difference in our age. And I just love building those kind of relationships with people of different generations, so that we can create understanding, and each generation has such a different perspective and gifts and, you know, the, you know, obviously experience as you get older from things that a 20-year-old just hasn't gotten to experience through life yet. So I think there's a real value in having mentors of who are older than you, and maybe mentoring people who are younger than you as well. I think both are really important to create that intergenerational exchange, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, it's another form of partnership.
Totally. Yeah. So in the final few minutes here, I'd love to hear how people can find out more and get in touch with you, and what they can expect to find from that book that you mentioned.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so my book, it's about 3 years old now. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but it's actually a free PDF download at my website. And it's about helping people navigate major life transitions so they can feel confident and you know, reach the other side of those transitions more easily. There is a chapter in there about life purpose and how to identify what your life purpose is and how to make the financial transition between jobs or careers. So I'll give you the URL for that, where you can get the free version. It's ihelppeoplelovemondays.com. And people can download the book there for free. And then also, along with that, I offer a Go Forward Fearlessly breakthrough session on life purpose, career, business, whatever transition people are going through, to kind of get them pointed in the right direction and where to start in the book.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that would be so useful for people who are looking at making some change, or feel like they want to grow their business or become an entrepreneur. So really encourage people to check that out and just take a step towards crafting a life which is, you know, satisfying, enjoyable, and really cultivating and exchanging your gifts. And So do you, in the last minute or so, anything you'd like to share here at the end?
Yeah, the only other thing I'd mention, you know, my Facebook group is another place where people collaborate and find a community. That's creatorcareyoulove.com. But the other thing is that I really want to hopefully drive home is that, you know, this is our time. This is our time for those of us who are have the gifts and talents to share with the world, who really feel that strong inner nudge to make the world a better place. And the world really needs our help right now. And so I've kind of doubly felt committed and almost feel like I have this moral imperative to remind people as much as I can that, you know, if you're not happy in your work, you're not doing the work you're meant to do, and you're meant to get out there and do greater things and make the world a better place at the same time, and the world just really needs that right now.
Yes, that is such a good call to action. Thank you for that, and thank you for being such a strong supporter of the more beautiful world that our hearts know is possible, and serving to connect so many brilliant minds and open people to really exchange and create value. So thank you so much for sharing with us today. I've really enjoyed this conversation. So just to encourage people here as we're closing the call to maybe close your eyes and just tune in to what your next step is to create that satisfying, prosperous life which you desire. And then take some action today and be willing to have courage and step forth and shine your gifts and your light. The world certainly does need it. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to subscribe to the show and rate and review our podcast at iTunes. Be sure to visit www.moneymorphosis.com. That's money-morphosis.com to join the growing community of empowered women who are dedicated to creating the true wealth they deserve.